Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Watch Time, a podcast series exploring the world of Apple Watch and how it impacts people's lives. My next guest is Matt Birchler from Birchtree.me. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Hey, Zach. It's awesome to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing this. This is really cool. The Apple Watch is a bit of, like in the Apple world, one of my mega interests. And for you, you're not even just like the Apple world with your blog, but you're like technology and then even beyond that. But your Apple Watch coverage is phenomenal. So you do a wonderful job there.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. It's definitely, I'm kind of right there with you in terms of passion for the watch. I really, really love mine, and I've loved it basically since the start. So it's an easy thing to write about.
One thing that I pick up from you is that I'm positive that you have more experience with testing things that aren't just Apple devices. And so when you talk about the Apple Watch, you talk about anything Apple, it's also with the experience of having with the perspective of having experience with like competitors. And so you can speak with authority about what's good here and what's bad there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a thing that I've been passionate about the last couple of years is like getting into the world of like Android, getting into the world of like Samsung watches and that sort of thing, because you kind of get, you know, all your information is about like Apple stuff or whatever company you're into, and you lose kind of perspective and you start talking about like Android is like stuttery, right? Like back in 2010 it was.
Yeah,
but it's gotten a lot better since then. So yeah, totally. I had a very fun adventure last year. I for the first time since going to the Apple Watch, I dove into Android Wear watches and Samsung Gear watches and tried those out, and it was fun isn't quite the right word, but it was really interesting to get a lot of context on kind of what else is out there in the smartwatch world.
Yeah. It's something like you can look at the watch alone, and we're in such early days so far, with the watch maturing and everything, that you can sort of pick out what you'd like to see, you know, this year, next year, and over the next few years, that you don't necessarily have to rely on the competition. And, something that I pick up from my 9 to 5 Google colleagues is that the competition is not fierce, and that a lot of those folks wear the Apple Watch, they use an iPhone just so that they can use the Apple Watch, and they carry an Android phone too. I think my boss Seth Weintraub, the 9 to 5 Mac publisher, is exactly the same way. But that's something that's kind of neat, is that with the Apple Watch being so new and Watch OS, something that you do extremely well is look at the landscape of the Apple Watch and its features and the design of Watch OS and everything. And you look at it and you think, how can this be better? And so every year for the past several years, you've done these phenomenal concepts of what you want to see in the next Watch OS version, right?
Yeah. I've been doing those since WatchOS 3, I think was the first one I did. I didn't do it for the WatchOS 2. WatchOS 2 was like, we're just going to make it not terrible anymore.
Yeah.
So there was nothing to really think about there. But yeah, starting from WatchOS 3, like it's definitely been a passion of mine to kind of look like, where's this platform going? Like you said, it's so new, it's so young, it's so, like, there's so much potential for what it can be in the future. It's really exciting to think about, like, I usually do like 1 year ahead of time, or in this case, like 4 months ahead of time, but like, what do we want from this product, I think, is a really interesting question. Cause like it feels kind of like the iPad. People talk about that. Like, it's always almost there. Like it seems like there's always a little bit more it could do, and it would just like get over a hill. And I feel like the Apple Watch consistently has those things where it's like, if it could just do this, like these one or two more things, it would be amazing. And then they add those things and you're like, well, now, you know, these other couple things would be great too.
Right.
And so it just goes on and on. Like you always want more. You always want like I feel like it's a device full of so much potential. So kind of thinking about where it's going and try to like put your mind in your head in the mind space of an Apple employee on the Apple Watch team, is super exciting. And so I take the opportunity every year to do it.
I love that. Talk to me a bit about your history with the Apple Watch. Maybe how you use it today, and even what watch you're wearing. If you're wearing the Apple Watch now.
Sure. I'm of course wearing it now. It would be terrible if I wasn't. But yeah, I've had the Apple Watch since day one. I kind of got started with smartwatches with the Pebble, the original one. And that was a big chunky device with an e-ink screen and like really minimal integration into iOS, but like it had notifications on my wrist, and that was so big for me at the time. And so when Apple got into the space in 2015 with the initial Apple Watch, like the product wasn't there yet, but like I was on board from day one. Like if it gave me notifications, then anything else, like it was an improvement for me. And so, yeah, I've been there since the start. I've acknowledged its many problems since the start, but I think they've done a really good job of improving it. And I've foolishly maybe picked up every single Apple Watch since then. Like I am always there on day one buying a new one. Even this year, going from the Series 4 to the Series 5, like the smallest update yet, but I had to have it. I had to have it always on screen. So that's the one I'm wearing right now. It's the Series 5, just the baseline model, just what the normal Apple Watch, none of the expensive ones.
Cool.
When you buy them every year, you buy the less expensive ones, I find. But yeah, that's what I'm using. And then I really love the, I'm using the Apple, one of the Apple leather bands, one of the blue ones. And that's been my favorite one for a while. I've had this one for about a year, and it's basically the one I wear every day.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I've only recently gone from switching watch bands and faces every single day, maybe throughout the day as kind of an obsession, to picking one watch face and one watch band. And my favorite has just always been the sport loops, just or sport band, not the loop, but the sport bands. And so I just use the one that comes with my watch. And finally, I think it's not having that. I love having the option to like change it up and everything, but also after doing that for, you know, 4 or 5 years now, it's kind of nice to just say, this is my watch this year and I'll change it next year. So it's a cool feeling.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I've got I'm sure you do too. I've got a drawer full of just watch bands.
Yes.
Mostly Amazon knockoffs that were like 10 bucks. And
yeah. Picked up on a whim. And there's still more that I wish I want to see made.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I look at like the ones Apple has right now, and I like them. And I look at like the Hermes ones, and I'm like, oh, I'd love a band like that, but I'm not spending $500 on a watch band.
Well, let's talk about so a few things that I really admire from you. So your blog, Birch Tree, is when I had Federico Vittici from Mac Stories on Watch Time, we gave it a shout out at the end of his episode, and the thing that he highlighted too was that just how nice it looks and how tasteful it's laid out. And so it has a really cool design. So first, talk to me about the design of your website and like what goes into that, and then we'll talk a bit about your brand new watchOS 7 concept.
Sure. So the website is birchtree.me. It's just my personal blog. I've been writing it for 10 years now. This October will be 10 years writing it, which is crazy. It makes me feel like one of the old fogies in the in the industry. But so I've been writing it for a long time, and kind of one of the things that I just enjoy. I'm a my day job is I'm a designer at an e-commerce company, and so I really enjoy kind of trying to find like something that's unique, something that looks different from your average blog. And so, like years ago, it was like, I used like purple as an accent color, and that was like really bold at the time, because like people were like not into purple. And now then like purple blew up, and I was like, well, dang it, that's everywhere now. And so, the current thing I'm doing, and I don't want to get too into the weeds about why my website looks like the way it does, but I'm currently kind of into this like cards interface where like every blog post is a card that's like floating above this kind of cool colorful background. And it's just not a thing that I like will see on like The Verge or like some of the big sites. Like they have kind of this more flat aesthetic and like gradients and stuff, and like a lot of opacity stuff. And I kind of like the idea of just a bold, friendly, just welcoming site, like a site that you land on and you're like, oh, this is a little different. This is a little different than I'm used to seeing. So
that's right.
It means a ton to hear.
Yeah. I mean, even your ads look good because they fit the design and they're the same card, sort of interface. It's so cool. And I didn't notice it before, but like you mentioned, since 2010, right there in the tagline. Wow.
Yep.
And the way it looks evolves with
impressive,
the time.
And now I'm kind of impressed.
Yeah. and the way it looks evolves with the time. So like the way it looks this year may not be the way it looks in a few years. So, so your day job is as a designer. So then that's where you've got the expertise to put together these awesome looking user interface concepts too, huh?
Yeah, for sure. That's, it's, interesting because when I started doing this, I wasn't a designer. I was in, I used to work at Target as a store manager there. And that's what I was doing at the time. This was kind of like a creative outlet at that time because there's not a lot of creative work you can do in retail. Right.
But I've been there. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that was another thing about like why I wanted the smartwatch is like you can't have your phone out like at all times on the sales floor. So you need like a way to check your notifications. Like my wife texted me, I wanted to see that right away.
Yeah.
So anyway, super useful there. But yeah, so kind of those skills turned into a job, and then that job kind of helped make this, these concepts get a little more elaborate over the years. And yeah, they're a ton of fun to do. Like I think, WatchOS is kind of at a place where it's kind of figured out what it wants to be, I think. And like, especially like WatchOS, the initial WatchOS release was really like, it did everything. Like there was a demo they did with like, you were watching like a live webcam of your garage door opening or something. Or,
like frame by frame.
They didn't know what this thing was going to be. Yeah, exactly. but I feel like, now we know what it's about. Like it's about fitness. It's about like communicating quickly. It's about notifications. It's about watch faces. Like those are the things that people use this thing for. And so kind of leaning into like, what do we do to make those things better? Has been, an interesting thing to explore. So that's kind of what I focused on this year with the WatchOS 7 one, was like, do more with the fitness rings, make like communication on it better, and like just find ways to do things in fewer taps. Like those are the things, like one of the things I talk about is this experience that I think most Apple Watch users have is you get like a text message from somebody, you see it on your wrist, you read it, you're like, oh, I'd like to reply to that. Mm-hmm. And you reach for your iPhone and you do it on the iPhone, and like your watch is there. Your watch is right there. It could do you could do the response through there, but I feel like everybody, I definitely do this. You go to the phone to actually do something. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would be kind of cool if they did some stuff to make you use the watch more to reply to messages, act on notifications. It seems like you go to the phone more than you need to.
Yeah.
When you have this fancy watch on your wrist.
Yeah, the feeling when I've got my the watch on my wrist and my phone either in the same hand or the other hand, and I look at the watch, and then I go to the phone, I feel way too plugged in when that happens. And the appeal of the watch can be that you can be way unplugged and feel healthy that way. So anytime, you know, like there are some examples I can think of just in the last week or so where I have an alert that for some reason they haven't, you know, gotten with the times and have an experience where you can reply from the notification. And so you see the alert that you have something and you care about that something, but you need to go to the phone to do anything about it. And in some of these cases, like it's not so much a problem with WatchOS or the Apple Watch, but with, you know, maybe it's an evangelism problem, but major players that looked at the way the watch was at the beginning and then abandoned it in terms of software now, and they haven't come back to the table, even though the experience can be way better. But that can definitely be a thing. And even from the built-in stuff, like, you know, what you illustrate in your concept, I've spent time going through and like customizing some of the responses that you get. And, you know, even if it's just, I end up doing like a restore or something and don't have those saved. It's such a process. And because they're not intelligent, you know, you're pre-writing them. Like I try to put them in my own voice, but it's still weird. And like if my wife is messaging me, we always use punctuation marks, you know, exclamation points and things. And if I don't, and it just comes off so cold and like, you know, and then she repeats back what I'm doing in terms of like the tone of the conversation. So a WatchOS version where the watch realizes that would be huge for that reason alone.
Yeah. I was listening to Connected this week, and I think it was Mike Hurley mentioned, like, if somebody responded to you in the auto suggestions, the default auto suggestions on the Apple
Watch,
they would think you're a psychopath. Like, nobody talks like that. It's so cold. It's so just like, no. And if I responded like that, they would be like, are you okay?
the fact that they're written, like, so stiff that you can kind of troll people with them. them. Like they just, there's no question that you're joking. Like, sorry, I'm in a meeting right now. You're never in a meeting, or I call, you know, they're so funny. And Apple's got, mm-hmm. like they pick up on not the way things were, but the way things are in so many different ways, and they make it feel like modern and fresh. And those responses are all business.
Yeah, it's all business. Like, these aren't for your friends. These aren't for your family.
One of the really cool things is in here, in your concept this year, and I've got a bigger question I'll get to later, I guess, about how you decide what to do each year, because it isn't like Apple goes through and then like checks off the boxes every year. You've got to keep coming up with things that you want and that you care about this year. but more specifically, just for the moment, is this idea of having a web UI for activity data and to export your data. I was reading that and I was just like, yes, 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 please give me, because my data, my activity data, my health data on the iPhone, even if it's backed up in iCloud or backed up to the Mac, and it's super safe, and I just want it to be as in many places as possible, and I want to be able to see it there, so I feel like it's like if I see it, I know it's there. And right now it feels like it's so fragile, and I'm just like, I'm feeding all this data that could just go away. And then being able to export that and into, you know, a common format that's readable by other services would feel like it's so much safer than right now, where it feels like it could all, you know, get lost on accident somehow.
Yeah, I mean, like you're entrusting iCloud entirely to keep that data safe and to not lose it. And I don't know if a web UI is exactly what Apple would want to do. Maybe they'd be like, you don't need that.
I would take a Mac app and feel better.
A Mac app would be great. Yeah, I mean, or like an iPad app would be great too. Like being able to see your activity stuff on the iPad. Like it boggles my mind why that's not a thing. But yeah, I mean, like, what if you like want to give this data to your doctor or something, so they can, like, if you're like on a like a recovery plan and they want to see like how you're improving, like how much exercise you're getting and everything, like being able to like give that to them in, maybe it's not a CSV, maybe it's a PDF or something, but something like they let you do that with the ECG feature, right? Like, mm-hmm. you export a PDF at the end of it, and you can print that out and give it to whoever. Like, it feels like a natural fit, like for this health device. This thing that like insurance companies are giving people discounts to use, it seems like it should be easier to get data out of there and give it to whatever you need to, whether it's your own backup or to a doctor or like whatever the case may be. It just seems like a thing that they ought to have, even if it's not a pretty option, like just some sort of option to do so would be kind of cool.
Yeah, and to you know, they're getting there with you know, advances in medical records and how you can have communication go both ways with doctors with your permission. But just to, it just feels like you need to have it on the Mac or on the iPad, whichever, you know, one is like your go-to big screen, especially because then you can zoom way out and see even bigger trends. And I can just imagine the app of like, you know, pick the year, pick the month, pick the week. And you see all these trends that you might not otherwise see on the constraints of your phone and that you wouldn't see on the watch itself, but it's all data from the watch. And just because there's not HealthKit per se on the Mac, then you still just want to view it. You know, you don't want to contribute to it on the Mac. I don't guess, but maybe there's some things you could put there, but I would love that. And I was all over when I saw that. I was like, please do that, because I would just feel so so comforted if it was in more places that I could actually see.
Yeah, the real sad thing about that part of the concept this year is that the mock-up that I have in there and the original article I wrote about this was from 2016. Like, this is a thing that I've been wanting them to do for years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it feels like it should be there by now.
Right, right. The ability to edit workouts and manage workouts from the phone, and you've got a really cool UI for like seeing your workout in progress on the phone. What's your thinking about that, and kind of how does that work in your mind?
Yeah, so the editing like after a workout just makes a lot of sense to me, because they have like this auto detection to like when you stop working out, it gives you a notification after a few minutes and says, "Hey, are you done?" And you can like end a workout. But sometimes, like, I get this a lot. I walk over my lunch break at work a lot of times. And so I'll, like, start a workout. I'll get back to the office. And then I forget to just stop the workout for whatever reason. And then the notification comes a few minutes later. And then I miss that for some reason. And then more time goes by. And I look at my watch. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm in, like a two-hour walk now. And I only walk for, like, 30 minutes. And so it's not a big deal. Like, it's not the end of the world, obviously. But if I look at like my history and if like I'm tracking like how quick is my pace, like how long did I spend walking this month or something, mm-hmm. I don't have a reliable way to do that because I have to look at each workout and see like, is this one unusually long? Is it long because I actually walked for a long time? Is it long because I forgot to stop it right away? So my pace is wrong because for the last 20 minutes of this walk, I didn't go anywhere. The GPS has me in the same spot. And so like my pace is wrong. It'd be kind of nice, just kind of like how if you edit a video in Apple Photos.
Yeah, you can trim it around.
Like hit edit mm-hmm. and then you can trim it. Yeah, trim off the start, trim off the end if you want. It would be really cool. I don't know if they can do this, but it'd be really cool like for that feature where it auto detects a workout. So mm-hmm. you start running, you forget to turn on a workout, and then it like pings you and says, hey, are you running? And you say yes. It does like this really cool thing where it like picks up like at that point in the workout. So you say, yes, I'm working out. And then it like has tracked the last 5 minutes for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. And so it puts me in this weird position because sometimes I start a workout and I realize before I get that notification that, oh, I forgot to start it. I should start it. And then I'm like, well, if I start it now manually, I miss the first like 3 minutes of this run. Mm-hmm. Or I wait 5 minutes and hope that it actually detects that I'm running and gives me the notification. And so I'm kind of like in this weird limbo where I don't know what to do. So right. It'd be kind of cool to be able to like start a workout. And then I don't know if it's afterwards or at the beginning or whatever, you can kind of like drag even further in the past and capture that stuff that you did before. It's probably not going to be as accurate because it wasn't tracking as aggressively before the workout, but just stuff like that. It's stuff that could kind of give them a little separation from other apps like Runkeeper and Strava and stuff. Mm-hmm.
There's an app that I love to use and talk about called Tempo, where you track your run from your Apple Watch, and then on the iPhone you can go back and see historical run data that's sort of more streamlined and detailed than what you get in Apple's activity app. And one of the first mistakes I made when using that was the common one that I do still today, which is I started it was a 5K organized race, and I started my run, and I was all excited, and I'd like, you know, had my music ready to go, and I launched the workout app, and I tap on the workout with the distance set as the goal. And it was like, I was looking back in Tempo and I was like, oh, where's my data hasn't appeared here yet. And I realized it was because I had logged it as an outdoor walk and not an outdoor run. And it's like, only thing I want to edit is the type. And Tempo has a thing where you can say allow walks at a certain pace to appear too. But then that made like all kind of walks that I logged appear and not just the one that I wanted. And so mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's not going to go in Tempo then. And so all of a sudden that like actual race gets not included in the catalog and the, you know, history. So just the simplest thing of, call it, it's not, you know, change the label of it. You know, you could think more advanced. You could do things like, you know, whatever the algorithm is for what you have an algorithm for, I guess, what you look at for everything you measure. And then that becomes your calories burned and everything. And you could look at that and say, well, if it was a walk, it was this. If it's a run, it's that. And that maybe that would change. But all I wanted in that moment was just to change what it was called so it would appear in my app. But no, not yet.
Yep. the stuff isn't, like, it's not the end of the world, obviously. Like there's definitely like the mentality of like, well, you did the run, you know you did it.
That's
it doesn't
right.
really matter if the app knows. But it's important. Like it's important if you are tracking the stuff and you want to know it's frustrating when the tool doesn't give you the flexibility that you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we know that there's nothing technology wise that stops it from happening. So it's one of those things that you've got to, you know, I mean, and even for Apple, they won't know to prioritize that if there aren't people talking about it. So, you know, putting it in a concept like this or talking about it on a podcast is sort of a signal. So I think it's useful to do that. You have a really cool concept in your WatchOS 7 concept that is changing something about the activity rings in a way that I think is brilliant because it scales. You, under the category of customize your activity rings, you imagine having rings for if we ever get sleep tracking built into the watch. I mean, even if we have use a third-party app, then you might want to have that as your ring. But also mindfulness, which the watch can track now with Breathe and other meditation apps. Having those be both bars under the rings or make those one of your three rings so that it's still focused, but you can also see more data in a progress bar like that. I thought that was brilliant because my first guess would be add a fourth ring, add a fifth ring, take away one of the rings, but yours is to add bars below and then also have the ability to swap out which rings you see on the watch face, for example.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing too, is I've got a mock-up somewhere with a fourth ring, and it's just like, it's real tight, especially you think about like the complications on the watch
face
where they've got the rings and like it doesn't fit.
That's so, right. That's right.
Yeah. Like, and this kind of whole idea is around like, some people, like people are, have different fitness needs. People care about different things. And so the fact that everyone who owns an Apple Watch has these rings for standing, for getting active minutes, and for burning a certain amount of calories, even and when only one of those rings is even customizable, the activity ring is the only one you can actually change what the goal is. It seems like for what they call their most personal device ever, that you should be able to choose what's important to you. Someone recommended, replied to me on Twitter after this went up and said, I use a water app, like getting the right amount of hydration is really important to me. And that's a perfect thing for a ring, right? Like I want my 8 cups or however, I don't know how much water you're supposed to drink, however much water you're supposed to drink in a day. Like a ring for that. And then you get closer to it as you log that. And maybe you don't care about standing, like you get like 6 hours of really good activity throughout the day, but you sit at a desk most of the time. And so sometimes you miss the stand ring and you don't care about that stand ring and you're perfectly healthy despite that. So it shouldn't be a ring that you're just never able to fill. Like you should be able to put something more interesting there. But yeah, I mean, these rings have been there since the start. They have been effectively unchanged since the very first Apple Watch. And I think they're brilliant. Like I think they're so much better than step tracking, which was kind of like the norm and in a large part still is the norm in non Apple Watch things. Like it's so much more interesting to know like how much activity you're getting versus how many steps, because steps aren't a great counter for health and blah, blah, blah. We all know that, but it's, I think that it's a thing that they, like you said, scale is the thing here, is like, let people add more things to track, let third party apps, hook into it, make an API for it maybe that they can use. And even if it's only like, okay, we've added rings for sleep, we've added them for water, we've added them for mindfulness, and then the Headspace app can go into the mindfulness one, and Auto Sleep can do sleep tracking, and Apple can have their own, like they have the Breathe app, they could, one of these days they're going to do sleep tracking, they gotta, right?
Right, and there's already a number of ways you can do it, so they could already tie into that if they allowed you to connect to it.
Totally. Yeah. And so it just seems like a pretty good compromise around getting like maintaining that three ring system, which is like their iconic health stuff, but also giving people the ability to customize and like coming up with different colors for the rings was fun too. So like,
oh, I love
like,
that.
What if we didn't have this red, green, and blue one? Like, what if we had purple and like just these different colors could be really, really fun.
Yeah.
Which the Apple Watch is all about too. So
that's all right. For me, the stand ring is something I never think about because I don't want to hit it, but I just don't, it's very rare now all these years in that I just don't hit them. I think it changed my habits in the early years. And so now it's like, that lesson is learned. If I could replace stand with mindful minutes, I would do that in a heartbeat. And then I would go from like rarely ever using the Breathe app or something else to wanting to do it daily because it's part of one of those three rings. And then I would just trust that stand, you know, I'd rely either on the alerts or you know, opening up the app for activity, or the norm, which is that like right now, 16 hours of stand and, you know, I guess I was, I realized I was up a lot last night is why, but that's one of the things. And then also the way that you, like you mentioned, use color to distinguish what the ring type is, just like they do. You're not throwing out the concept that they established. You're adding to it. And that is so neat. And it makes the rings look totally fresh. And the fact that you can move in your concept, you know, instead of having move on the outside, having move on the enter ring, and then it just changes the whole look of these, while retaining how familiar they are, and they are your rings. And I could even steal like, you know, a productivity ring. And I've done that with the Things app on the Apple Watch, where it's a complication all on its own. And, you know, if you've got 5 tasks and the ring will move, you know, 20% at a time, and then you fill your productivity ring. But the beauty of what this is it's 3 things in one. So it's information dense versus having one complication take up that whole thing. Like, you know, this would be like if Apple never had rings, but they had just like one metric for each thing that they're measuring here. So I love this. And I mean, I guess another question is like, how do you feel if Apple takes what you do in your concepts and they ship it? Because I imagine like the goal here is you're the user, you want to see that. How would that be if they just like, they took your thing and they just ran with it?
I mean, on the one hand, that'd be great. On the other hand, I'd probably put in an application to Apple next day.
Maybe you should, yeah.
And be like, let's make this official, guys.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, as looking back at some of the other ones that I've done in the past, and I don't have a great hit rate. Like a lot of the stuff they don't quite do. Like last year, I was hoping for like a new Siri watch face. They didn't do that. I was hoping for sleep tracking again. They didn't do that. They did add a whole bunch of new watch faces. I was hoping for those. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's so much that I want them to do. Like it seems very reasonable, like mm-hmm. when you're writing it and you're not the one actually like talking to the devs and being like, how much can we do this year?
Yeah.
So you go a little overboard, even if you try to be reasonable. But yeah, I mean, if they do even one thing on my list, like I'll be over the moon at WWDC this year.
And I mean, your hit rate isn't it's not awful either though. Like if you go back and look, you know, the podcast app doesn't look super different from what they do in terms of, you know, you've got cards, you know, they do, I think they changed the design that you're gonna make it like one big card after another, but you've got that. Mm-hmm. The thing that kind of surprised us was when we all wanted an always on face of some kind, you know, your thinking was a lot like what we were thinking with 9to5 Mac was, let's have, you know, an analog watch face, just have the minute and second, or the minute and hour hands and the numbers and everything else fades. And that was in your concept. Like you articulated that through design. And what they actually deliver is like beyond that. So in that way, the concept was like, this would be really cool to have and totally reasonable to do. And then what they deliver is even better. So that's a cool end there.
Yeah, I was shocked when like I kind of joked like this was the smallest update from year to year.
Yeah,
but, like the way that they do the always on watch face on the Series 5 is incredible. Like it's so much better than what is available on similar like Wear OS watches out there. Like it's so much smoother transitioning between the modes. It's so much like more vibrant than mm-hmm. those like a lot of them go like monochrome. And there's like a, like they flash on and off. Like when you like lower your wrist, like the screen goes black for a second and then the always on mode kicks in. But like this one has like a smooth like animation from off to on. Like
it pops.
It's incredible like how good it is. Yeah, it's so, so cool.
Yeah. Is another thing in your WatchOS 7 concept this year is managing how you think about third-party watch faces and not have it be, you know, of course we would love to have the ability for anyone to build like a watch face, but if we can't have that, what if we could just have a customized, like a tool that you design from what Apple has in terms of watch hand availability and you like something from this watch face, but you like something from that watch face and you can't put them together right now. What if you could? And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the idea of it. And like, that'd be the perfect thing for like an iPad app. Like if there was some way to do some like sync it with there, cause then you could use like the Apple Pencil and really get in there and kind of move things exactly where you want them. Like that's a perfect use case actually for letting you see the stuff on the iPad. I don't know if they have any interest in doing that, but it seems like a really cool way. Cause I like you hear, people like Marco Arment who love watches, mm-hmm. Talk about the watch faces and just, they get frustrated because they can't, every watch face that Apple has are just not quite right for them. And there's just things that they just can't get behind. And so letting you kind of build your own, like in one way, it's the most un-Apple thing possible.
Right.
But I think that it would make a lot of people happy. And if like they're kind of like shortcuts, maybe you could share them. Like you could share an iCloud link to this watch face. And mm-hmm. so you could just share a link to a face that you made. Like it seems like there's a lot of potential there. And at that point, you may as well have like have third party watch faces.
Right. But, you're almost there at that point. I mean, even today being
so close to that.
Yeah. Even today being able to share which watch faces you can come up with from the combinations would be useful. But like to your point, if you can take any analog watch face and every watch face that's available as an analog watch face could have the hour for every, you know, the number for every hour. That's something you really can't do right now mm-hmm. unless you're on California utility. But if you could do that on every watch face, that would open up for me the number that I would explore more. So that would be great. And then, you know, I think your thinking around iPad is interesting because when I first started using the Apple Watch when it was brand new, I would, you know, the iPhone integration is great where if you're using your iPhone, your watch won't ding. And if you're not using your iPhone, your watch is what taps you or dings or both. And so it knows which yep. one you're using or which one you're not using, but it's got no idea about the Mac or the iPad. And so you have a better experience if you're using your iPhone than if you're having your iPad or your Mac with the watch. And like iMessage will try and guess the last device used before it alerts you, but things like email have no clue and other alerts. So even just that of like the iPad can see the watch and it knows that you are, you know, Matt on your iCloud account and you're on a device actively, then you know, if your iPad's in use, don't ding your watch. But as of right now, like, you know, you can be on your Mac messaging and your iPad messaging and your watch will ding along every one of those messages if that window isn't active. Whereas on the iPhone, they're talking to each other, so they won't do that.
Yeah, for sure. And I wonder if that's a thing that they'll kind of enable. The new iPhones have that. I forget what the U1 chip or whatever.
Ultra wideband.
Proximity kind of. Yeah, that one that they're using right now just for AirDrop between those devices. But like if the Series 6 Apple Watch has it, the new iPads have it, and your Mac has it eventually, like if all those devices like really know how they're oriented and kind of like have an idea of what you're doing, they could totally, there's total possibility there to make things really smart about like where to send notifications, where does it think you are, what's your attention on? Because that totally resonates with me. The like, I get a notification on my iPad, and I'm like, give me 2 seconds, that'll hit my watch. And then my watch buzzes, and I'm like, yep, that's the same email. It's kind of a weird thing. Again, not the end of the world, but it's just kind of one of those little things that the integration could be a little tighter.
That's something that would be very Apple to do, I think, is to you know, surprise us in some way. Like, it kind of makes me think of, you know, just unlocking your Mac with your watch, you know, where they do that over Bluetooth and they determine the distance between your device to make sure you're close enough that it's actually you. Things like that. Like, they surprise us in the way that they implement it and that they even offer it. So however they could do that would be great, because even if the Apple Watch goes independent from the iPhone, well, then the iPhone becomes one of the problems, because it'll also ding with every alert if it's not like paired together. But and even something as simple as just like, you know, the iPad can see the watch over Bluetooth and the Mac can see it over Bluetooth. So if you're in range, you know, and you're always defer to the bigger screen. So the watch is your smallest screen right now. It defers to the iPhone if it's on, or if it's off, it goes to the watch. So if you're in Bluetooth range of your iPad, put the alert there only, or the Mac, you know, whichever is the, I guess, bigger screen or most active screen that you're on right now. So that's one of those like year one, day one fine tunings that we've never had. And I haven't thought a lot about it, but it was definitely an irritation in the first few weeks. And now it's just the way it is. But if I was going back and looking at like, what can I improve? That'd be one of the big things for me.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not like unprecedented either. If you think about like, Siri, how Siri works, if you have multiple devices, like it does some intelligence about like what device is the best to answer this, like which one's closest to them. Cause like, I mean, I'm a Apple fanboy or whatever, but I've got Apple devices all over the house. Right, so like I say the phrase and like my iPad, my iPhone, the HomePod, they all light up for a second. And then like whichever one is like closest basically is the one that'll respond. And it does a really good job of that most of the time. It's kind of all this difference, different versions of the same request is like, understand what I'm trying to do and have all these devices talk to each other. Like phone calls are the same thing. Like if you get a phone call to your phone, your watch buzzes, your iPad lights up, your Mac does it, and you pick up on one of them, and then all the other ones know that you picked up and they stop ringing, right? So
yeah,
the pieces are there. It's just kind of pushing more in that direction would be really nice.
There's a few things that I've got that if I were doing one of these, sometimes I mention features in my annual watch review. I didn't do one for Series 5 because it just wasn't. I never got around to it, and I wrote a lot of things that were not a review, but that were reviewing the watch. But one of the things I love to check out first is, can I make a phone call on the Apple Watch, and even if it's like from the iPhone, but through the Apple Watch, and then leave the phone app and like go check email or something, you know, multitask in a phone call. And so far you can't. And that's one of the things I check every year with new hardware or new software is like, can you multitask in a phone call? Because it's one of those basic things, you know, where we're in the phone, it's, I guess it would be like back in the day when CDMA as a network couldn't do internet on the phone. But
yep, that's right.
That's how it is for the watch now, is that if you're on a phone call, you need to end the call before you can, I guess you go to your watch face, but not other apps. And so you couldn't like check your calendar or email to reference something. That's one of those very basic things I think it could handle.
Yeah, I guess I've never tried that, but I kind of assumed you would have been able to do that, because like you go to the watch face, like you said, and like up at the top middle, you got like the phone icon, and you can just like tap that to go back to the phone call. I would have assumed you could go into an app at that point. It's a little surprising you can't.
Yeah, I'm afraid that everyone else assumes that too, so it's one of the things I want to bring up every year. Another thing that is if I were doing one of these, which they're so cool. I love your concepts every year. They're amazing. The big one for me this year too, new to the Series 5, would be whenever you use your watch face, every watch face has a design for the, you know, active. And then when it's kind of in sleep mode, rest mode. So that took a lot of work to do that. But then if you're in an app that isn't workout app, then it shows you the digital clock and the background of the app faded out. And I really like to use the analog watch faces all the time. The one that I'm only using right now is California with Arabic numerals. And then you've got five complications, one being around the dial. And it's just packed with information. And then, so I'm used to having an analog watch face, and I've gotten really good for the first time in my life of like reading a clock without thinking about it. But then it jars me when, you know, something happens and I'm in an app or something and I lower my wrist and glance at the time and it's digital. And then it feels like it went back to that digital mode, and it just feels like a different watch, you know, like if you're putting on a different watch. So I would love for there to be sort of like going back to your ambient watch face idea that you illustrated, where you've got just a generic watch face for an analog clock, you know, and right now we don't have that. It just goes to digital, even if you use analog.
Yeah, I kind of find on the Series 5, it goes to, I see that digital, because I do the California face too. Mm-hmm. I really love that one in watchOS 6. And I see that digital one come, because like I'll like get a notification, I'll look at it, I'll lower my wrist and be like, wait, what time was it? And so like I kind of glance at it, and if the screen doesn't turn on, I see that digital one, and I'm just, it's annoying. And so it would be kind of cool if in watchOS 7, and it's great talking to you about this because now I'm getting all these new ideas that
at
the time that I wrote this, is like if third-party apps and more of Apple's own apps had a way to say, if the screen is in ambient mode or always on mode or whatever it's officially called, like display this, like display this kind of version of what I'm showing, or like, cause like some apps you do want to be private, like they're like messages. Maybe you do want that to not show when you lower your wrist and someone can snoop on that. But like the timer app, for example, like the fact that like that goes to like, that should show the timer the whole time it's running. Yeah. Like I should be able to glance my wrist and see how much time is left.
I feel like that has to be what they're focused on in terms of watch faces this year, is probably making more apps work like with Workout, where part of the app is lit even when your wrist is lowered. And even if they don't offer it to third-party apps yet, they haven't done it to any more of their apps besides Workout, right, when they first launched. And one of my gripes is a default setting that I think is wrong, is that, at least in my opinion, is that by default, if you're playing audio from your iPhone, the watch will go to the playing card. Yeah. And then again, if you lower your wrist but glance at the time, it's that digital watch face with the background blurred out. And so if you play a lot of podcasts on your iPhone or music from your iPhone or watch videos on your iPhone, it's often going to be that blurred out watch face with a digital clock, even if you've customized a watch face, you know, unless you raise your wrist like the old fashioned way. So
Yeah, I mean, you just got, if you like, you have to think about like their like development teams and their hardware teams like talking to each other and like knowing what's going to be like what hardware is going to be available when
that's
it launches, and like it just sounds like a they only had time to do this many things with the always on screen, and obviously like the now playing one is a great example of just like that can't be the experience,
right?
Like that's the ideal one, so it's got to be a thing. I would be shocked if you're right that's what they that's something in WatchOS 7 that like all these other apps directions like Maps app when you're navigating, like your hands on the wheel, like your the screen is off, like you don't want to have to like turn your wrist, like mm-hmm. It seems almost a shoo-in that that's going to be in the actual release.
That would just make so much sense, just like what WatchOS 7 is, you know, the first thing you see in WatchOS 7 is how all these different apps have adjusted. And that's a great perspective, you're right, is that, you know, you often see that with new hardware, you get like one or two things about it that take advantage of the new hardware. Even with LTE, it was Apple Music will soon be able to stream over cellular, yeah. You know, in addition to making phone calls and messages. And then we see, you know, that come to more and more places, but or more apps come from Apple because they have that feature now. But it's just resources. So that's a really great perspective. So that makes me super excited for WatchOS 7 because like your concept is awesome. You know, and it's like, give me all of those things. I want them right now. But, you know, even just with that in mind, it's like, you know, what we will get, regardless of what, you know, we've imagined on our own, will probably be very good because they've had a whole year now, they've had a whole year with everyone working on WatchOS, knowing about the hardware, not just that it's coming, but that it's been in customers' hands and how they've been using it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have tons of respect for the team working on WatchOS. Like,
yeah.
It's incredible work that they're doing. Like we kind of mentioned earlier, there's no real competition out there, and like a part of me is like, they should do more. They can do more. Why are they not like pushing harder and doing like more dramatic changes? But like at the same time, it's just like it's such a good product. Like it's so solid in so many ways, and so I'm really impressed with what they're able to do every year. And like, I mean, who knows, maybe there's a circular watch coming in the fall and like all their work's going into circlifying the UI. Like who knows. So it's definitely going to be an interesting WWDC to see what they've got coming for it.
For me, I can't do these mock-ups like you do because I'm not a designer. I don't have that experience that you have or that skill that you have. But I'm kind of thinking of it as like, you know, you can think about it in your head, and then the next level is to articulate it into words and like write an article about it. And then you've got this skill where you can also show your work, like show what you're talking about. And that's really awesome. And then like the next level of that is all the work that goes into implementing that, not just the user interface, but behind the scenes, how everything connects together. So that's an awesome perspective of sort of how to manage your expectation, but also, you know, keep on thinking about the things that you want, because otherwise, like very basic thing, customizing a message tone for contacts. I gave that up with the Apple Watch. I used to do that on the iPhone, and now my iPhone never dings as all the watch. But I liked before the Apple Watch knowing if it was my wife or my mom or anybody else, you know, based on the tone. And I do use tones with the watch sound on, but it's all the same tone. And I think it's the same for email too, right?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of wild. Well, awesome, Matt. Thank you so much for joining me. Where can people read your work and follow you online?
Sure. So the best place to follow me online is probably Twitter. I'm at Matt Birchler there. And then all of my work I post to birchtree.me, like you mentioned a few times mm-hmm. before. It's very colorful. It's very friendly, very inviting. I love it. you can check that out. But yeah, if you follow me in either of those places, you'll see everything that I've got going on.
Nice. And you do podcasts. What's the current status of your podcast?
Yes. I do a solo podcast as well. Like I've called like a micro podcast. Mm-hmm. It's usually like 5 to 10 minutes once a week. And I just talk about whatever is on my mind. It's usually Apple stuff, tech stuff, that sort of thing. But yeah, that's the Birch Tree podcast. That goes up on the blog as well. So
cool.
Yeah, there should be a new episode of that in a couple days as well.
So, awesome.
Yeah, keeping busy over here.
All right, terrific. Well, thank you so much, Matt. It was a pleasure to talk to you about the Apple Watch and your awesome work. And I will talk to you later. Bye.